On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Tall Can Sports Podcast. Rob's over there.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Rob.
It's me. It's me. It's the R-O-B.
Straight up, yo.
Next time, man.
Okay.
I hope. This is Tall Can Sports number 351 on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. We're at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. And of course, the archives are at TallCanAudio.com. What's happening today, man?
Just sampling that beer.
So this is The Octopus Wants to Fight.
You know he does.
It's from the Great Lakes Brewing Company, obviously out of, I shouldn't say obviously, it's out of Toronto.
Yeah, why do you say obviously?
Yeah, you know what? It's obvious to me. Because they are a sponsor of a Toronto-based podcast that I listen to every week. And so I know that they are at the West End, just kind of bordering on Etobicoke, if I'm not mistaken.
So they should be shooting us some love.
I think so. Although we're nowhere near any of the Great Lakes here. It's a bit of a hike to the Great Lakes.
Okay. It's actually the greatest lake is the pool in my backyard, I think.
The greatest lake. We got a few things we're going to get to here. If you haven't had a chance yet, I would suggest you go back and you check out Tall Can Sports number 349, where we had former NHL defenseman John Barrett on the show. Just about 2 hours worth of old-time hockey talk, man.
Old-time hockey! Get the foil on!
Yeah. It's like having a Hansen brother in here.
Sort of.
Yeah, well.
Minus the glasses and the hair.
Well, that's really the whole thing, isn't it?
It certainly is. So, it certainly is.
All right, disregard, I guess. But that was an interesting conversation. Tall Can Sports 350, we put out on holiday Monday. Matty Lang was back on board. We talked about the NFL season kicking off this week, the Labor Day Classics in the CFL, and Josh Donaldson breaking Blue Jays hearts fans all over. I did that wrong. Breaking Blue Jays fans hearts all over again. You can check that out. And Audio Whiplash, the most recent one of those, is also up at tallcanaudio.com, where we had our friend Amy Burke on and talked all about her goings on in Lima. So lots to check out in the archives.
Life in Lima.
Yeah. She was more concerned, as she should be, about one of her post-tournament rituals getting fucked with, as they're changing the recipe to the Big Mac, man. And so she was not happy with McDonald's as we worked our way through that. Lots to catch up on. If you've been away, you know, enjoying some summer vacation or whatever and looking to get caught up a little bit, all kinds of great stuff in our archives. We got no time to look back, man. There's lots going on right now. Where do you want to start?
Shit's getting real.
That's true.
You know what? More than anything, I think with all of this yet to be determined RFA shit that we've been talking
about
for 3 months.
Now, Clayton Keller signs today. Do you see that?
No.
Clayton Keller, not one of this big group because he's a year younger. right?
And not moving the needle.
I don't know. Well, we can talk about that. But
well, this is where I'm going.
This is interesting.
I'm leading into something.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was amused by the Clayton Keller one because while the Toronto Maple Leafs and Boston Bruins and Vancouver Canucks can't get their guys done, Arizona's like, psh, 8 years, $7 million for our star right here, a year early, no problem. Fuck. Like,
yeah.
How does that happen?
To me, it,
7.1 mil.
We'll wait and we'll see. I think that's probably going to be a fine deal as stuff continues to move forward. But
yeah.
he doesn't touch the bulk of the class that's sitting in front of him.
That's right.
So I think he's not really waiting to go, yeah, well, I see where, you know, Marner Point went.
Would you say Willie? Like, I'd put him in the Willie class.
Like, yeah, sure.
We don't talk a lot about Clayton Keller because he's down in Arizona.
Right.
But he's had some, like, that's a good hockey player. Like, a little small, but...
Yeah, yeah. Well, we don't
see
him. We don't see him a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it seems to be he's going to, well, in my eyes, he's sort of slagged with the underachieving franchise tag.
Yeah.
Right? And so he becomes like that.
True.
But where I was going with that was since nobody signed, but clearly Clayton Keller is,
yeah.
has jumped the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, at all.
No.
And neither have any of the defensemen, which I think I said 2 weeks ago would be happening before
McAvoy, Werenski, and
Provorov
were the big three you mentioned. Yep.
Provorov.
Sure. Provolone.
Yeah. Provolone is exactly where I was going. I was looking back. There's some people on the radio this morning were talking about the 2015 draft, which is where a big bulk of these guys have come from. Right, and they were saying if you could redraft that draft, would it look the same? And so I don't want to get into that here.
Sure.
But what I do want to...
Down the road, that could be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. What I do want to ask you is, that's the McDavid-Eichel draft.
Yeah.
So it's a no-brainer. McDavid gets drafted one.
Yep.
10 times out of 10.
Yep.
So let's remove him from that bracket.
Yeah.
But when you look at beyond that, and you look at... I'm going to give you some names, and I want you to tell me... If Eichel still gets drafted in front of these guys.
Okay.
Timo Meier.
Yes.
Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah, but only on the center thing. Only on the center thing.
Mitch Marner.
Yeah, same. Same.
Okay. So then really the rest of them I think are gonna fall. Barzal.
Yeah, he's ahead of Barzal.
Besser.
Yeah, yeah.
Shabbat, Werenski.
Shabbat and Werenski probably jump over Barzal. Well, I guess I don't know. I don't remember what order they actually went in. But
Shabbat went at 18.
Yeah, so he's moving up a fair bit if you had it to do over again.
Right,
which
we're
not going to do today.
But I'm just throwing names out. Right?
Eichel is... Look, we rip Eichel a lot because he's coach and GM there too and some of his prima donna bullshit and whatever. But he's still a really good
hockey player.
He is
doing a terrible job of being captain and GM of the Buffalo Sabres.
That's true, man. Bring in some... That O'Reilly deal was terrible, Eichel. Like, I don't know what you're doing.
So you're still taking him too?
I think I am, yeah.
Okay.
He's better than he's been made to look with that organization so far. And I, you know me, I am still a sucker for the center.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that is the prevailing thought, right?
Yeah.
But I just, do you think then he's just made to look more poor due to his immaturity and the crappy roster in Buffalo?
Yeah.
And injury?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I look, I think we felt Eichel was closer to McDavid on draft day than we do now.
Oh, I think Eichel did for sure. Buffalo did not.
No, no. And their GM at the time, Tim Murray, was...
Oh, fuck! Just like that.
To pretend they're still happy to
get no,
you.
Not Tim Murray.
No.
There's nothing in him that does that. Oh, my God.
Fine, we'll take the mystery box.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me, Monty, what's in box number two? Oh, I know it's in box two.
A prima donna, Eichel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Rantanen is far higher now. I think Marner has shown he's, you know, you'd take him over Dylan Strome, who was also, I believe,
Strome was three.
Yeah, I think both of those guys are probably ahead of Strome. Although, once he got out of Arizona and into Chicago,
looking good,
basically a point a game for the rest of the season. So I'll be interested to see how that goes.
They mixed him up with Reunited. Was it with DeBrincat? Is that who they?
Yes.
They put those two back together. Yep. Were they?
Yeah, they were in Erie together.
Okay, yeah, and so they found a little of that OHL mojo,
right?
And I'm going to try for the next however long this podcast is to not continually talk over you.
That's good.
How about that? I'm going to try. I make no
351 episodes in,
and that's just the,
you know, sometimes I interrupt
the TCS. How about just silence then?
Yeah. Well, if you're not going
to
talk.
Hey, and how do you feel about this octopus wants to fight? Because you're not an IPA guy, I know, but what do you think of that?
You know what? It's pretty good, man. It's not like an overwhelming, it's not like a really pushy IPA. So it's probably not much for you.
IPAs do get in and get their elbows up a little bit.
No, they shove you around a little. But I'm enjoying this one. What about you, man?
I don't mind it. I find it to be highly drinkable. As a matter of fact, I've already drank half that
most
pint.
Of it, yeah. And I'm really highly drinkable.
But for sure it is. And I'm working my way to the bottom of it.
Yeah. No, it's pretty good. So, like I said, that's from the Great Lakes Brewery. You know, if you're commuting right now, these things always go up at Tall Can Audio on Instagram.
It's got a catchy name, too. And before you get, I know you have actual things you want to talk about here.
I don't know. That one was kind of good. Kind of good.
Way to go, Rob. You're just going to say, you're bringing some lukewarm shit over there. Yeah. The other thing that I thought was provocative was with all this, and again, we're now inundated with, you know, that's hockey's back up and running, and we're now, you know,
Darren Dreger's back out there carrying all the water he can for these guys.
Being flogged with Leaf bullshit. And what didn't come up in the Dubas McKenzie chat.
Yep. Did you watch the whole thing? It's like 30 minutes.
I did not.
No.
There's only so much. What is the word he kept using?
Which one?
Dubas kept using leverage.
Yes.
There's only so much.
A lot.
I had a lot of leverage with my remote and said, fuck you. It was.
I watched it all.
Why? Yeah, of course.
Worshipping.
It's must see TV right there.
Shrine.
Yes, exactly. Muscly little Millhouse.
Nice suit he was wearing yesterday.
Yeah. It, David Bowie would be proud. would you ever entertain flipping Marner for one of those other RFAs? And now maybe you have to
point.
Okay. You're not flipping for point, because then you're in the same problem. I'm wondering if you could flip him for one of those other guys, maybe for a lesser cap hit.
The Leafs have room to do this.
Yeah.
So that's the...
right now, and what happens moving forward, though, I'm talking about just in terms of... What about to Calgary for Matthew Tkachuk? Calgary would have to sweeten it, I think.
Yeah.
A bit, but to me...
But it's Tkachuk interesting because he brings a little something that we're lacking.
For sure.
So I wouldn't write it up, but are you not left with the same... You know, now we're just dicking around negotiating with that guy who, like, it's a really interesting class, right? Like,
for sure.
I don't get the impression that Marner badly wants out of Toronto or Tkachuk badly wants out of Calgary. These guys, as a group, are all just holding steady, saying we're going to get ours. And I think if you flip guys, you're still left in the same.
Yeah, yeah. I think, as you say, everybody's going to get paid. And this isn't I'm going to trade. But it's just an interesting, maybe that frees up a little of the impasse. And just as you said, and you've taken right to my initial thought was, Matthew Tkachuk, while not Marner's skill set,
right,
he brings a lot to the table.
For sure. Very good player.
And he's playing out there.
And he's going to get his fucking money,
too. And he's out there, and he's not playing on the line with Gaudreau or Monahan.
The second line, yeah.
He runs that shit, so...
Yeah. And they have that's an interesting one because they have an internal cap there where you don't get to make more than those guys. But he's fucking gonna.
When they keep throwing Giordano in there, he's gonna blast right through that ceiling.
No,
I
agree.
That six and change, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And sorry, man, you signed your contract 2 years ago or whatever it is.
Right.
Guess what? Shit changes.
World changed, man. Right out from under you. And I'm intrigued by this, man. And you said the defenders would go first, and I think there was some solid logic to that, but here we sit a couple weeks later and nobody's gone. And I wonder, like, how many of these guys will be there at the first day of camp, will be there at the first day of the regular season? Like, somebody is going to crack, right?
Well, we'll see if the pebble that is Clayton Keller.
Well, okay, but he's a year younger, right? They've signed him with a year to go on his entry level. So that's, to me, even more...
Like Shabbat.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Except not.
Like, yeah, no, but...
Shabbat's not done. And,
well, no, but Shabbat is... Shabbat was on local radio today.
Right.
And...
Hot Sam Batchel.
Yeah, and they asked him flat out. Well, he gave the pat answer of, yeah, well, it's, you know, my agents are taking care of that, and yada, yada. But they
excited
did...
Excited to be in camp.
Steve Lloyd did ask him. He said, no, it wasn't. It was John Rodenberg.
Okay.
Asked him... Well, clearly another agent question, he said, but are you guys really waiting to see where Werenski and...
Why wouldn't you?
And Macko, and he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, before we get extended out here, I want to see where...
Well, the thing, like, a year ago that sent tremors through the NHL was Drew Doughty, outspoken as fuck, going, yeah, I'll talk to Carlson. Like, before we do anything, he and I are going to be the big fish... Yeah, I'm going to talk to that guy and let's see where we're at and let's...
And then the dumbass went and negotiated his own contract.
And whatever, yeah. But why wouldn't you... None of these... Like, I'm shocked that Clayton Keller, even if he's not the top of that class, that he went ahead and did that. Like, why wouldn't you wait this out and see where all these guys are going to come in? Maybe let one or two guys from your draft class go ahead of you? Like, I don't know what the benefit was for him to jump now. You know, Thomas Chabot and Zach Werenski for me are both more valuable than Clayton Keller. Maybe that's why you do it. Maybe if he's afraid they're going to come in lower than he wants them to,
yeah,
it may push him down.
But Keller's a forward. And
sure, but same draft class. That's my only.
Yeah. I wonder what's happening in down there in Arizona, because when you look at Oliver Ekman Larson,
yeah,
he sort of went and did his own thing too. Just. He didn't.
I think it looks like it's just a sweet living down there, right?
You're in
no expectations.
You're golfing 24/7, 365.
No one's there bugging you media wise. You know,
yeah.
I think that's some of there was. We put up a video on our Instagram at Talk Can Audio of Phil Kessel after he had been introduced as an Arizona Coyote, and it's him in the jersey and in his always so excited and enthusiastic voice, like, "How's it going, Coyotes fans? Really excited for the season to start." That's it. Like, that's the extent of the fucking video.
And then he pulls some sand out between his second and third chin. Like a pesky sand in between my chins.
In between me chins. Yeah. So Filthy Phil settled in quite nicely, I
guess. I keep forgetting about him down there. Yeah, honestly, it's one of those things where you're like...
I think he's good with that. Like, he's
for sure. For sure. But yeah, it's one of those things you're like, wow.
Yeah. I can't imagine while on your summer vacation, you paid a whole lot of attention to the basketball World Cup in China, but Canada, shocking as it is, comes up short and does not qualify for the Tokyo 2020 games. All kinds of talk about guys who answered the bell, who always answer the bell. And now again, guys who haven't. And there's been some interesting things put out, chiefly by Doug Smith in the Toronto Star. Bruce Arthur's put one or two out there. Just about how do you change the culture? If you can, like, they had 29 invites, I believe, to their national team training camp of Canadian basketball players. 17 showed up healthy. I don't know how many of the ones that showed up injured were actually injured.
Yeah.
And how many of them just said, yeah, I'm not fucking doing this. But we see this a lot, right? Corey Joseph answers the bell all the time. This year, Tristan Thompson appeared to say, yeah, until more guys are in. He had always answered the bell in the past, but he didn't this time. And RJ Barrett, he's just starting his career, but he's battling some injuries. Who's the other guy from out west that I'm thinking of?
Well, there's Wiggins and there's Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray is the one I'm thinking of. Wiggins and Bruce Arthur took a couple shots at him in his column. He said, you know, showed up and disappointed Team Canada, so the NBA is not the only place he's a disappointment anymore.
Yeah.
is there, like, what do you, what's your read on this? What do you think's happening? Is it just that too many Canadians are apathetic to the program, or?
See, I read the Bruce Arthur, the most recent Bruce Arthur article, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And clearly now he's, it's pretty clear how Bruce feels.
Yes.
About it. And he goes through the lengthy list of NBA international players, right? Whether it's, you know, Marc Gasol in Spain, whether it's Antetokounmpo in Greece, a couple of Turkish guys who I do not know.
No, even Scola down in Argentina.
Scola,
right?
and he talks about Ginobili and
those Argentinian guys, they talk a lot about their, what, when they first showed up, I think it was in 04, was like their first.
They won in 04.
Yeah. But like out of nowhere, and they those guys come back and they say, we, our dream was just to get us in the, not win a medal, not win a game, just qualify.
Yeah, Scola said that was in 99.
Okay.
When they first got together, they wanted to play in an Olympics. So clearly it was Sydney. They were looking to qualify for. But they said, yeah, they just wanted to go.
Just
they wanted to be
there.
Eddie the Eagle. They just wanted to show up and go, hey, man, we're here on the world stage.
And they created, like, for 20 years now, Argentina has been dangerous, right? You had to keep an eye on those guys coming out of the Americans or the Americas. And there's just something, there's some sort of disconnect with the Canadian program. And we talked probably 2 years ago about we're entering this golden age for Canadian basketball and that they should be there in Tokyo 2020. They may not be ready in time for Rio, but man, 2020, that's going to be our, and here we are, man, you got to go to this last chance tournament again next year and they're not going to get in. And
well, we don't know that.
Well,
what we do know is, I got two thoughts on this.
Okay.
First off, you and I both heavily involved with a sport that needs to have its national
body
needs to be overhauled. And I think that's what they're saying here is there's a lot of people for various reasons disenfranchised with Basketball
Rowan,
Canada.
Rowan Barrett is the GM there. Well, I really liked Nick Nurse being brought. Like, that was kind of cool. They brought in Nick Nurse to run the thing, gave it some credibility.
Right.
And enough of these guys still went, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. Well, and they're talking about, you know, the time, you know, Wiggins being dissatisfied with the way Jay Triano handled them. And
get over it, man. He's out.
And then all the guys who have come up through that very strong junior program, right? And and then their junior coach, whose name escapes me, Banna, Rana, something along those lines.
Sure.
Gets let go, and then people are like, hey, you know, that's our guy, blah, blah, blah. I think they just need a fresh start. And what this reminds me of is, and sit back and behold the genius that is Rob.
This, like, we haven't been doing that for 350 episodes.
This is very similar, in my opinion, to the long-standing lack of culture that existed with Hockey USA.
Yeah, USA Hockey.
Yep, same association.
Dyslexic fuck.
And years and years, guys were like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, there was always the lure of when NHL players played in the Olympics, but, you know, world championships, forever, guys didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Whereas Hockey Canada, right,
no problem.
People are saying, hey, you want to be considered for the Olympic team?
Yeah.
Your ass better show up.
Well, Sidney Crosby's phoning them after being eliminated from the playoffs and going, I'm in, like, I'm ready if you want me.
Right.
Yeah.
And so these sorts of things, and then you look at where USA Hockey is now with the young and up-and-coming guys.
Yeah, they got guys.
Everybody's going, hey, I want to go. You got Patrick Kane over there saying, I'm in year after year. If I'm not playing in April,
right,
I want to be wearing that Hockey USA.
Yep. I think Clayton Keller was on his line this spring.
And so it says a lot about how you need a couple of guys to buy in and you need to have a little success, but somebody's got to do it, right?
Well, and this is the thing, like, there's been guys like Corey Joseph and Tristan Thompson.
Steve Nash.
But God love them, they're not the game breakers, right? They're solid NBA players.
What about the Scrub Brothers?
Yeah.
No love for the Scrubs?
Nope. I don't want no Scrubs.
Yep. Or short dick man.
Passenger side of his best friend's ride trying to holler at me, man. I'm not interested. No Scrubs.
Wow.
Nailed it.
So lame.
No. Fuck that. I hit that.
Nailed it.
Yeah,
for
contact,
sure.
Man.
Okay.
You, until you get And I don't know how serious the injury to RJ Barrett is, but when your dad's the GM and you don't get that guy, come on. And now they're probably going to fire him. And does that guy now hold that for years?
You fired my dad.
Right. And it's not an illegitimate beef. Yeah. But, you know, how do you not get that guy?
Well, I
how
think,
do you not get Jamal Murray? How do you not have these guys over and over?
I think
and over
when
and over?
You are, when your dad's the guy who didn't qualify,
yeah,
ran the program that didn't qualify, I think in any business, you have to have a little smarts when you look and go, didn't work, eh? Fired! Next guy. Who do we have?
We're bringing Leo Routens back.
No. Please no.
No, we're not.
Let's not do that.
Because I think he also had a kid on the team.
I'm going to say, let's bring in an African, because clearly that's the way that has to
yeah.
go.
Yeah. Let's Messiah up
yeah,
to,
see
man.
Yeah, see if he's going to willing to run hockey, basketball Canada.
And,
hockey
and
Canada.
And USA Hockey.
Yeah, whatever.
The guy's a genius.
Fuck
do
Brooklyn.
All, man.
Guy can do whatever. Bring him in. I can use that fire.
I can think of way worse ideas, man. But
all right, take it. It's yours.
Okay.
That's what has to happen, though. You got to have a couple guys. Fresh, new broom sweeps clean, baby.
Why don't they care? Like, I don't like the GM, but I guess really when you look at even Team USA over there, they just about got beaten down, taken out by the Turks. And that team is led by, like, Middleton. Like, they don't have their top guys either.
They don't have their top 40 guys, I think.
Could be, man. But they, when it's necessary, like, they're already qualified, right? So, whatever. And their top guys will be there at the Olympics. Maybe if we ever got in.
Carmelo Anthony.
Oof.
Yeah, bring it on.
Probably not the guy.
No.
So, it's interesting to me, man. It's disappointing that this was supposed to be the golden age of Canadian basketball. There's so much young talent coming. And the guys that did give up a big chunk of their summer, I'm not ripping on them.
No,
but
for sure. And Bruce Arthur tried to do that, too.
Yeah.
Tried to not rip on them, but still.
Little support, man. Could have had some help over there.
Yeah.
From some way bigger names.
So. Well, and I don't want to hear that. If I'm going over to represent my country,
no,
I don't want to hear
don't.
Somebody else. Too bad it was you. Too bad it was you there wearing
sad,
our
sack
wearing our jersey.
Yeah.
If we had somebody good, we could have done some shit.
You sent me over a list today of highest selling NHL jerseys.
Yeah, man, I did. That's true. That happened. Look at me just contributing to the show left, right, and center here.
Go
dude.
Again, big
what are
guy.
You doing?
Yeah, no, almost nothing. Man.
Yes.
I take it like there was some guys that stood out to me, but what was the that? What was? Do you have the list in front of you? I think it was Crosby.
I don't.
Okay,
but I thought I was. Yeah,
right on top of it, but he's not. It's Crosby.
I cracked that open. I thought I was drinking a Radler.
Oh,
is what I thought was going down.
Okay,
and I thought that shit's gone bad.
And
no, it's my not a Radler. It's my Sun Split IPA. It's yeah. what it is, and it's a step up from the from the Octopus Wants to Fight.
Okay,
the Sun Split's giving me one of these.
Hey. He doesn't want to.
Yeah,
he is.
It's on. The sun splits on me.
Crosby, Ovechkin,
Matthews,
Bergeron, McDavid, I believe, was the top five. Does that sound about right?
No, McDavid was number 10.
Okay.
Kane was number 5.
Okay. What do you make of that?
Yeah, but wait.
Okay.
Number 6.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, number 6.
What are today?
So, yes, you had Crosby 1, Ovechkin,
2.
Matthews.
Yeah.
Bergeron,
yes.
Kane,
yes.
Binnington.
That was weird.
Tarasenko.
Yeah.
Taves.
I can't believe Taves is still selling that.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
And McDavid at number 10.
Right.
So to me, there's a bunch of things. Sid's still just doing it. Like, obviously, just killing it still, which is odd a bit, right, in 2018, 2019?
Yeah, you'd think if you were getting your Crosby jersey, you would have by now. Like...
Well, and I get the Ovechkin thing where they won the cup the year before. That yep. It's like,
so this is sort of over the last year they're ranking these.
It is. It's sort of it was that 2018-2019 season that's just completed.
So, like you say, even collectors and whatever, even if you're not a huge Caps fan, now's the time. You probably make the jump, get the Ovechkin jersey. The Crosby thing, yeah, you'd think these guys been in the league for over a decade. They
won 3 cups.
Yeah.
Just done a pile of shit.
What are you just doing? Like, if you want a Crosby jersey, how are you just getting around to it now? But there he is, number 1 again. Jordan Binnington in 50 games of NHL experience somehow cracks the top 10. And I'm not convinced, we've talked before, that he's not the fucking Hamburglar. So you all may have some great road hockey jerseys here shortly.
I doubt it. You probably spent $200 on it.
If but if he's back in the minors this year, then
he'll forever be a Stanley Cup winning goalie.
Yep.
And I think no matter what, honestly.
Just give me this.
I'm not giving you shit.
How is he ahead of Tarasenko? Like, let's say they're both on the list. Give me Tarasenko first.
Give me Ryan O'Reilly.
Tyler Bozak, man. He's your Brozak.
He's not my Brozak.
He should be, man.
But I love that won a cup, not in Toronto.
No. Everybody gets to do that, man. At some point, guys move on.
Move out of town.
Win their cup.
Next year, JVR, it's all you, baby.
Oof, that's the wrong pick. But there are former Leafs out there in prime position.
Tyler Ennis, Ron Hainsey.
Oh, no. Zaitsev,
come on down, Connor Brown. It's you, baby. Matt just said it.
I'll say this on the show right now. If Connor Brown wins the Stanley Cup this year, I will buy and proudly sport an Ottawa Senators Connor Brown jersey.
Okay, because there's a great chance he's not here come trade deadline.
No, that's true.
So you'll still do that, though, is what you're saying.
A Senator?
Mm. No, because that's not what you said.
Yeah. If Connor
Brown... Matt's going to eat his fucking shoe right now.
If Connor Brown wins the Stanley Cup next year... I have to buy a Connor Brown Ottawa Senators jersey.
Yes.
Not the team you won the cup with.
Woo! You got that right, baby. That's what you said.
Yep. All right.
All right.
You're right. I'm in.
Okay, good. Ladies and gentlemen.
Down goes Brown, hopefully.
Watch for this in the year to come. 25 goal scorer Connor Brown traded at the deadline.
Tarasenko, I want, if I'm buying a Blues Stanley Cup jersey, ahead of Jordan Binnington. Come on.
He should have been the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, Binnington.
Oh, just stop it. Where do you stand on, like, were you surprised to see Patrice Bergeron at number four?
Well, see, to me, Taves and Bergeron are both similar types of player.
Had earlier success, but both on original six teams who do sell more jerseys than anybody else.
And guys who aren't flashy...
Sure.
Prolific point getters.
Yeah.
But guys who absolutely are the heart and soul of their teams. So to me the fact that those guys are still in the top 10 shows people with some great fucking taste.
All right.
I'm big fans of both those guys.
Big fans. I don't think that's grammatically correct.
I am big fans.
Big fan.
Big fans. There's two of them.
I'm a big fan.
There's two of them.
I'm a big fan of both of them.
But I don't do it at the same time. I am separately. So it's really
big. I am two big fans.
Yes, this is exactly right. I'm here.
Bergeron.
I'm here making shit up. Welcome aboard.
Bergeron surprised me. He's never had the same, despite probably being better than Taves in the same role. He's never had the same notoriety as Taves.
I haven't looked at their...
All right.
I think...
But we're not
Taves,
talking...
Taves is probably more... Has had better point totals.
Okay. But we all think of... Like, Patrice Bergeron gets on the Olympic team and he's the 13th forward, or maybe he'll play right wing with Crosby, whereas Taves is, like, right there. Maybe he's going to be the captain.
Yeah.
Like, and Bergeron has been disrespected.
And Taves has... I was going to say Daves...
What's up, Daves?
Again, more strokes here for Rob.
He's having the sun split.
Yep.
The brain split.
Exactly.
IPA.
Sunstroke IPA.
Nice, man.
Three.
Pulled it out of the fire.
Stanley Cups.
Yep. But all of them, 4 years in the past, how are you still selling top 10?
Because dude's killing it. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Can I tell you, and you're going to give me shit for the blue thing?
Of course.
John Tavares.
Yep.
That's not a top 10 jersey.
How was that
year.
Not alone in his first year as a member of Old Bluey?
I got one.
Yeah, see, look at you.
Yeah, man. Wear it right now, every day. Wear it to bed, man.
Do you have a Matthews jersey?
Nope.
Okay. That's weird.
Why?
No, it's
you
just...
You know me. I love John Tavares, man. For
like, really,
for
dude, I love him. Yeah, I love you, John. Like,
call
I love
me back,
you.
John. Like, honestly. Yeah.
Once was not enough.
For
sweet,
him.
Sweet, sweet lovingness.
But like,
yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah, there should have been a spike there that you'd think would have got him above Matthews.
Well, you would have thought as of July 2nd.
Yes. right there.
Like shit would have been just inundated with requests for number.
I smell a conspiracy, man.
Number 36 jerseys with Toronto Maple Leafs.
36. Dmitry Yuskevich?
Isn't that what Tavares is? 74. 86. 92.
Close enough.
Yeah, all right.
Jeff O'Neill's.
Yeah. Oh,
Jeff
come on.
O'Neill's been on the radio all the time.
The hot dog.
For his 92 to be retired. Because I think Ozhiganov wore it last year, which he thought was a travesty.
As he got walked by Shabbat.
Yeah, of course.
Come on.
Game 2 of the season.
Walked right out of the
season. Here's your season right in out a nutshell, man.
Well, see, and they played that highlight when they brought Shabbat on the radio this morning.
Okay.
Beautiful.
So a radio. It was Dean Brown's call, obviously.
It was Dean Brown's call.
I got to be honest, man. It's a better TV. Like, it's a great move.
Well, to look at it, it's an absolute great move. But what are you going to do?
Yep. Radio is what it is, man.
Yep.
Over the course of the last couple of weeks, the much-rumored bloodletting continues at Rogers Sportsnet as Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean as well, who
joined a whole fucking cavalcade of John Shannon's
got Bob McCowan.
Doug McLean, Bob McCowan,
Primetime Sports earlier in the summer. Darren Millard's been, he was let go last season. And the list continues. And this is all clearly in relates to we overpaid to get the NHL rights. And now we have to let go our NHL guys to pay for it. And look, I've been super critical in the past of Nick Kiprios. I'm not a fan, but he is a day one guy at Sportsnet, and I bet you there are more people who like him out there than people like me who don't. And the fact that that guy is gone, to me, that's a huge that's money, right? That's all about money, not performance, not takes or opinions.
When you heard, and I was reading that same article that you passed along.
Yeah.
He and Doug McLean, so when that contract was awarded, and it came on, and the guy's first name escapes me that's running the show there at
Scott Moore
started handing out like a handing cash out and contracts like a drunken sailor on leave.
We're getting the guys,
and so the money is for McLean and Kiprios rumored to be middle to high six figures.
Yeah.
Oof.
$600,000 for
$600,000 to $800,000.
Yep. And you can only wonder what it would have been, because as soon as that was awarded,
half
TSN showed up to their guys, James Duffy, Bob McKenzie, all their top guys, said, tearing up your contracts. Do you want to stay? We'll make sure we still get the regional games. So of the World Juniors and all that kind
of
stuff.
We're going to pump up your salaries by
it's almost doubled for some of them.
It. Yeah.
And
to make it obscene.
Yeah.
Like, hey, do you need want? You?
Yeah. And if that hadn't happened, that's the type of money Sportsnet was going to have to offer. Like, to me, everything I heard, and there's a great book. If you're into this sort of sports broadcasting business thing, I know it's fairly niche. There's a great book called The Hockey Fight in Canada by Dave Schultz. Not that Dave Schultz.
The Hammer?
And, goes into a bunch of this, and James Duthie sort of alludes to it in his book later on that he's written, that they were all contacted. Like, what's it going to take to get this done? And Sportsnet, I guarantee you, especially James Duthie, maybe more than anybody else, is probably the number one sports host in the country. They wanted him, right? And they would have overpaid again to get that. And how much worse a situation could Sportsnet have been in? And they overpaid for it. They haven't delivered on it. Their broadcasts, in my opinion, aren't good. Like,
they're not good. They're not good.
They're behind anything. Like, Sportsnet was the third best hockey broadcaster when this deal happened. They kind of enveloped the second best, which was CBC, and took it all away from the best, which was TSN. And it's still causing problems now, and it looks like Don Cherry's going to be back for another year, but only because his segment is still profitable.
He's a money driver.
Yeah.
And I get that. I don't like Don. I think Don's...
Lots of people don't.
Man. I know. And I think Don's probably 8 years past his...
At least.
But
I don't like him anymore. I used to.
I do get that he people tune into him. There's a pile of people who are middle of the road to fringe hockey fans who just
they like that pro Canadian
and
old
they just
school.
Eat it up like it's gospel.
Yep.
And so I get it. I get why you keep that on.
And we have this thing like every Saturday night on our Twitter during hockey season that I have to start block because people just, oh, I can't believe this fucking guy's still on the You're doing exactly what Sportsnet wants.
I'm going to tune in.
Yep. To see why I hate him this week, right? I'm talking about him. I'm tweeting about him. I'm driving traffic. Even if I chose not to watch it, I see enough angry tweets. I'll go back. I'll find it on the website and see what he said. Put your remote down. Go have a piss. Grab a fresh beer. Maybe make some popcorn. Whatever you get. And you're back for the second period, man. What? Yeah, sure, man. It's been a good period.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I saw Thomas Chabot. Honestly,
Leafs are going to start the second period with a four-minute power play. I am very excited.
You don't have to watch. But as long as people talk and tweet and call and whatever, they're all in on that, man.
But doubling back, such a shrewd thing that TSN did when they were left out, right? You had the CBC Sportsnet, you know, duo.
Yeah.
And they're saying, okay, fucking TSN, you're on the outside. Suck it. And so then TSN immediately goes regional with their broadcast saying, okay, I'm gonna speak to Canadians in their own markets. And we are gonna take the people that you know and trust.
Yep.
Right? Your McKenzie's, your Dreggers. To a much, much, way, way, way lesser extent, LeBron and Duffy, as you say. To me, you've seen a bunch of things. You've seen the rise of Sportsnet, The Score, all those sorts of things. But TSN is still the standard.
Yeah.
And you
trade deadline day. I don't care that they don't have national rights. I'm tuned into TSN, man.
Right.
You have the guys. You have the...
Those are the people that we all know to know the insides.
Yeah.
And so, you keep my regional, you are the face I see for my regional team and you have the guys.
The big national guys.
So that's still where I go. So it doesn't matter what else happens.
So on Sportsnet, I like
the Punjabi
broadcast. Friedman. He is an insider. I like Chris Johnston, but he's mostly a Leaf guy, so I get that. That's not a nationwide
I don't care
thing.
For that guy too much.
Of course you don't. Nick Kiprios.
You love.
I've ripped that guy to shreds on this podcast before for some of his takes, and it's okay to disagree with you.
For getting bludgeoned.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. Jim Vandenbush, be better. You can take that.
Straight down in your face.
He became an insider. He had sources. He was a legit guy. And the fact that that's who they let go shows you that this is more about money than it is about your top personal or personalities. And I don't know what these broadcasts are going to look like. They're getting worse and worse. They have some sort of agreement with the NHL that they can only simulcast so much. So they have to send crews to games that they want to cover.
Yeah, and Bettman's been hard on that.
Yeah.
Right? They've stayed firm, saying, too bad.
And this article states, whether or not he'd let them off the hook and let them sell some games to TSN. And TSN's going to say, go fuck yourself, because we want...
Hey, go fuck your hat!
We want good games. We want big games. We want Leafs-Habs games, right? Yeah. We want conference final games. We want... And Sportsnet...
We want a seat at the big boy table.
Right, and Sportsnet's not going to give them those.
So guess what? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you can continue going under... And just drowning, man. And
we'll see when a contract comes up.
Yeah, it's still 7 years away?
Well, we'll see what's going to happen with NBC money coming up here soon. They expect that to maybe triple.
Yeah. So from $200 million to $750 million.
A year.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
$750 million a year would make their 10-year deal worth more than the Canadian deal.
Yes. That's what the article said.
Okay. That's incorrect.
Okay.
The Rogers... Canadian deal was $5.2 billion over 12 years. I promise you the American NBC deal won't be $7.5 billion over 10 years. It's $750 million over 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was it 10 years? It wasn't 10 years, though.
Well, this past one that they have with NBC...
It was 3 years.
No, it was 10 years at 200...
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just not worth it.
It's a separate article that I'm citing, okay. And I'm like,
yeah, no, it's just not worth as much down there, despite having three.
Of course, it is not. I get that. Yeah. That no matter
and
what
they'd
happens,
be better off to split it like the NFL does, right? Some goes with NBC, some goes with ESPN, who, you know, they bought the World Cup rights and like they're interested in getting back in it to some degree. But Gary has blown this, and he blew it in Canada, and he's
he fumbled around in Canada. In the States, nobody wanted that product.
No, especially not at the, remember, it was on Versus coming out of the lockout. Like, no one knew what that was at that point. Yeah. It was the Outdoor Life Network.
And
thank God for the NHL.
And it was around Comcast. It was it was a bunch of things, right? And so I can't blame him for what he's done in the States because nobody wanted
it. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, it was cold product, right? Yes. And like nobody wanted that.
Yep.
And so NBC has built it up to a spot where ESPN may want back in on it now, where you look at a bunch of... So there's going to be more money down
maybe
there.
Maybe Fox, yeah.
There's going to be less money in Canada next contract.
Has to be. This didn't work. Like, you can't lock it in like that. It hasn't worked. And one of the interesting things I referred earlier to this book, The Hockey Fight in Canada, they say that one of the big things was that swung this. The last minute thing that Sportsnet did was send the head of Rogers, who at the time was Nadir Mohammed, and not just Rogers Sports or Sportsnet or anything, like this was the guy who took over from Ted Rogers. They said, you got to go down and you got to meet with Gary, because they knew TSN wasn't doing that. They were just sending, you know, the head of TSN instead of George Cope, who was the head of Bell Canada. Because the head of Bell Canada goes, I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to meet over NHL broadcast. But Gary wants his ego stroked a little, and he wants to meet with
the TPC,
the high guy, right? And so all of a sudden, Nadir Mohammed is there from Rogers, and he looks at Bell, and they didn't send George Cope, and he's like, well, then I guess we'll go with the guy who shows me the respect I deserve, right? And
tiny perfect commissioner.
Fuck, man. So I don't know. We fire this back up. The Sportsnet broadcast will look a little different, clearly, this year. And we're still TSN see just rolls along, man.
We're still going to see Kelly Rudy busting out the bottom of his suit, showing way too much white shirt at the bottom of the jacket. Like, Kelly, either get another button or hit the treadmill, my man. No, one of the two.
Happening, man.
All right.
It's nice. He's enjoying retirement.
Yeah, all right. I get it. Get the bandana out. Cover that. Use it as a cummerbund. How about that?
Is that still a thing? Do people still do that?
Cummerbunds?
Yeah.
With tux. I can only imagine.
Okay. I'd like to see that.
I haven't had a tux on since my high school graduation.
Nice.
Prom, not graduation. Using it as a bib.
There you go. I can see that.
Leftover crabs in there. Just,
oof. Wait.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Is this from the meal or the... You know what? We'll leave it there. That's another episode of Tall Can Sports. Maybe we'll revisit Rob's crabs on another. Another night. That's Tall Can Sports.
Seems like a whiplash topic.
Yeah,
right
you
there.
Know what? I'm not. That might be a Patreon topic. Okay. That's Tall Can Sports. Like we mentioned off the top, all kinds of stuff over at TallCanAudio.com that we've had on in the last week or two. Would definitely advise you to check that out. We're at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We'll catch you all on the next episode of Tall Can Sports.
See ya.
We'll fix that up later.
You'll fix that up.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast.